Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number three, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number as we finish up on a Friday. We will hand it off to the K Show at 3 o'clock, so we go full buffet with you. With so much going on in the world of sports here in New York, the playoffs begin officially tomorrow. You get playoff hockey. You get the Islanders and the Hurricanes. I want to say Canadians. You get the Knicks and the Sixers at the Garden at 6 p.m. tip-off. We begin that, and we'll see what this run has in store for Jalen Brunson and the Knicks. Knicks fans are starred for a run here. Can they make that kind of run? I'm looking at something, like I said, if you want that kind of attention and respect that you have been begging for, because for years it's been easy to just kick the Knicks while they're down, throw dirt on them and everything else, expect the worst. You want to put an end to all that stuff? I've always said, it's the great line. Winning is the best deodorant, and this is the way you clear it all. This is the way you completely cleanse a franchise. As you go on a run like this and you establish this team, this group, and your Jalen Brunson, your star, as somebody that now should be reckoned with for years to come. That's what you want. That's what has to happen. It begins Saturday. Rangers won the President's Trophy. They want to win a better trophy. That's the Stanley Cup. That run begins on Sunday. And then, of course, we have the baseball teams, both of them now, with winning records. The Yankees and the Rays, they begin that series. The Yankees will be on a bit of a homestand here now for the next couple of days. And then the Mets go out to the West Coast, and you see Yoshi Yamamoto for the first time as they'll play the Dodgers later on tonight. So we got all that going on, Bart. And it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. It's a Friday. So what's that mean?
It's the power hour. Hour. Tank Top Fridays too, baby.
Tank Top Fridays?
Tank Top Fridays.
We're getting closer to that kind of weather. It's a little chilly today, though.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you're going tank top because you just like to do that kind of stuff.
It's in the pasties.
Is that a tank top or a sports bra? I can't tell. It's a little tight.
I got a C cup.
You going peck pop of love on me right now? So on the football side, as we have the draft is, I mean, next week's going to be a lot of draft conversation, right?
Like
it gets silly, along with, of course, all the playoff stuff. But, you know, we have the two teams here that have top 10 picks. The Giants at 6, will they stay there? The Jets at 10, it feels like they're going to stay there. Joe Douglas spoke today, and we do the hypothetical thing, but I want you to read between the lines and tell me what you're hearing Joe Douglas say when he is asked the hypothetical without naming names about taking a tight end in the top 10. What would that tight end need to be?
Well, look, if that tight end can become someone that has turned into, you know, what Kansas City, San Francisco, what Laporte did last year in Detroit, like those are dynamic weapons for your offense and guys that put a lot of stress on your defense because they create mismatches. You know, it's hard to put a linebacker on one of those guys, put a DB on one of those guys, it creates a size mismatch, and put a safety on those guys. Well, he better be able to run. He better be able to play man coverage. So, like, the right type of tight end can be a real weapon.
Brock Bowers, Georgia, is that tight end. Checks all the boxes that he just described. At least that's what all of the draft experts tell me, that's what this guy is. He mentioned Laporta, who is the rookie in Detroit, who was fantastic. And I'm told this guy's better than him. He's better than him. So, Bart, is it just blatantly obvious that the primary plan of the Jets with their 10th pick next Thursday in the first round of the NFL draft is to take a tight end, Brock Bowers, and give Aaron Rodgers yet another skill, talent, player in the offense?
Not unless if two players are there, no. I mean, I think if Joe Alt is there, or if Rome Odunze is there,
so
or
Joe Alt, left Malik tackle,
or Malik Nabers is there, I don't see how they make that pick.
So, all right, so you still think offensive line would still be a priority?
I think it's only
if
one
somebody
generation
of that element was still there, which is doubtful.
Yeah, I mean, but it could happen because I think what if Bowers gets picked? If he's that great,
damn.
If he's that great at 10, why isn't he that great at 7?
Well, I understand, but tight end is not as prioritized as obviously other positions.
But we just said this guy is.
Yeah, you're right.
Kittle. We just said this guy is Kelsey. Better than LaPorta, who almost went for 1,000 last year.
Yep.
We're saying that he's Kelsey. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I get it, but, you know, all the mocks have him going to the Jets.
I got
all of them have him going at 10.
Because they have Joe Alt going where? Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out why Tennessee, they just got Peter Skovansky or somebody from Northern Iowa first round last year. So if they just went a tackle last year, left tackle last year, now I know he was injured last year, but wouldn't you want to get your guy Will Levis, first round draft pick or a high draft pick, your starting quarterback now, wouldn't you want to get him some help? You went out and got him Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins. Wouldn't you want to get him the tight end opposed to giving it to Aaron Rodgers? Right? Because the Tennessee Titans to me and the Jets are the same offensively for me. Right? They've been working on fixing the offensive line, and they have two great receivers.
Let me ask you referenced Skoronski. Is that who you were talking about?
Yes.
They moved him to guard, just so you know.
Okay.
He was drafted as a tackle.
Yeah,
during his rookie season, they pushed him inside, made him a guard, and he actually had great success at the guard position.
But so did Jonathan Ogden. They moved Jonathan Ogden to guard his rookie year because it's easy to handle, and then they moved him out to left tackle, and he went straight to the Hall of Fame. So just because they move you in as a rookie doesn't mean that's where you stay.
But what if they're thinking you get now you have Skoronski on the left guard, then you get Alt, make him your left tackle, and then these two guys become the blocks of granite that protect, you know, Will Levis or whoever it's going to be going forward.
Well, that's the dilemma, right? And that's the same thing. Do you go get a Ja'Marr Chase type guy, generational talent? Like, you know, both of them are considered generational talents. But in this game, do you pick the lineman or do you pick the tight end? Like we saw, you know, mixed bags, right? We've seen the Lions go with Penei Sewell, and I'm sure they're happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also saw Cincinnati go with Ja'Marr Chase, and he took him to a Super Bowl.
Now, the other thing that you mentioned was, and I think it's right, because look, we can all agree that Douglas is definitely making it clear that if Bowers is somebody that he would definitely think about or definitely consider and probably is very high on the board. But I'm with you. I mean, I don't anticipate Alt's going to be there at 10. I don't. But you could see a scenario with all the talk about runs on the quarterback and everything else that another team could trade up and a fourth quarterback could go in the top 10. It's very possible a Minnesota or somebody else moves up, trades up with someone and gets another quarterback or even the Giants. There is still talk that the Giants at 6 could figure out quarterback and J.J. McCarthy's name keeps coming up. Giants fans might not like that, but that's reality. So if something doesn't fall right and maybe unexpectedly you get a quarterback so a fourth one goes in the top 10, that moves everybody down. And when you do that, that could push one of the wide receivers out of the top 10 because there's three of them that all could be top 10 picks.
Right.
One of them might not make the top 10 or might hit the 10th pick. And if so, it's Malik Nabers that is sitting there or – it's Roma Dunze is sitting there at 10. I could see a scenario that the Jets go there. So I think that's what they're kind of doing. They're going off, hey, if everything falls according, if it goes chalk, we take the tight end. If not, we adjust priority-wise, and priority might be to take the wide receiver.
Okay, here's the thing. What if the Giants move up to 3 because the Patriots pick is open? So then the Patriots –
Elliott Wolf said that pick they could – that pick is for sale. They are open to trading it.
So let's just say to be conservative, we got, what, four quarterbacks going in the top 10, right?
It's possible, yeah.
Potentially three receivers in the top 10.
Yes, right. There's 7 picks right – well, three – you're saying 4 quarterbacks?
4 quarterbacks.
4? Yeah, so there's 7 out of your 10 picks already.
And then we think Alt's there.
Right, that's 8.
And then we know the verse is going to be the first defensive end coming off of maybe Atlanta.
Right.
But what if Denver moves up or something like that?
Right.
Or what if Minnesota moves up?
Yeah, those are the questions that need to be answered. Is there going to be a trade up? Because it's all you keep hearing about is teams that are listening to trades.
At nine, what if Chicago moves out?
Well, Chicago would want a wide receiver too. That's the
why. Why? They got DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
Well, I know you said that, but I thought that was always the plan for Chicago, is to get wide receiver to go along with the young quarterback.
But DJ Moore is only in his like seventh year.
Yeah,
is he not a young guy?
Yeah.
So
but you
like,
save
what I'm
money.
Saying is they got Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say
they got him? Don't they have Keenan Allen for only 1 year?
Yeah, but who's to say that they don't move back and get a guy like Brian Thomas?
That could happen.
So they can move. So they may say, "Hey, Minnesota, you want to move up? Here you mm-hmm. go."
Yeah, anything can happen
at nine. So like, what I'm saying is like trades can mess up the order and make somebody drop. Mm-hmm. We've always watched a draft, and somebody who's supposed to go somewhere drops, and they usually drop out of the top 15. And what I'm saying is, if that happens, then it changes everything for the Jets. Hell, if Washington goes Drake May, draft can get crazy.
Yes.
And even if you know, we think
we all
that,
know that can get crazy, because there's, again, Daniels, like there's so many.
Who's going to make that trade? That's what I'm trying to say. Who's going to make
right,
that trade?
That's the thing. Who's going to trade up to get the fourth quarterback?
And with who? Is it the Chargers?
Could be.
Is it
Arizona?
Arizona.
Arizona wants the wide receiver, though.
Is it New York? But it's three of them. So if they can move back and get more assets, they need as much help as they want.
Yeah. Again, Elliot Wolf with the Patriots. He's their director of scouting. He's in charge of the draft. He made it clear the number three pick can be had.
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft. We're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and strike, if the board recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
That is something you got to pay attention to, because that could certainly change a lot of things as well. One thing we know is the number one pick is not for sale. The number two pick with the Washington Commanders, here's Adam Peters, their GM.
We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. Yeah, we feel great about sticking there.
So, all right, the first pick and the second pick we know are not going anywhere, and we know they're both going to be quarterbacks. It's after that. And I think the Patriots might be more willing to trade if they don't get the guy they want.
Yeah, especially when they think if they have a high evaluation on a guy like Penix.
Well, that's true, too. They could probably they
like,
could
man,
say
like,
the guy that
– Minnesota, that, what's up?
Yeah, the guy that we were going – like, if let's say they really want, like, Drake May, but Drake May goes to Washington instead, and they don't see the same value in Daniels. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying
– or vice versa.
Whatever – all right. Or it's Daniels they want and not May, and then they go – and they think, you know what, I can get May in the second round. Like, I can get a guy like May, I should say.
I can get Bo Nix, I can get somebody Rattler, just like Spencer Rattler.
Whatever it is, right. You feel that way. Then you – turn around to a team that might want, they might value May or Daniels or somebody else more, and they'll, all right, you take it, you can take him, we're not taking him, but we'll take the extra picks instead.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots move down to 11th and 23 with Minnesota.
Yep.
Let Minnesota go get Drake May. Kevin O'Connell's been working on something. You don't trade your future draft pick just so you can have 11 and 23 because you think you're going to get good value at 11 and 23 and give up your next year's pick, which is probably going to be 23 again next year, because they won't suck or be that bad where they won't have a top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
So they had 11th this year. So listen, they're not going into the season saying, "Oh, Sam Darnold's our quarterback. We feel good about that."
No, certainly aren't. And the Giants aren't saying that about Daniel Jones. Clearly, as much as they're talking about Daniel Jones, and Joe Shane yesterday just continued to talk about Daniel Jones as, "We believe in him. He's our guy." But you heard Daniel Jones the other day. He spoke with absolute, like, he had a complete absence of emotion in his voice. Now, he normally does, but, you know, like, he generally
has. It was
the
eyes. It was the Adam Gase. It was the beams.
The Adam Gase eyes. You're absolutely right in describing it that way. He definitely had, like, an emotional abandonment about him when it comes to talking about the Giants. But Joe Shane continues to push the idea that he is very much in the plan.
The expectation is for him to be our starter. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope he doesn't have any setbacks. He's working his tail off. One of the things, you know, when you go back and you watch the 2022 season, or, you know, all of his throws in 2022, like, he was a 25-year-old player that played at a high level, and we won 10 games and we won a playoff game. I'm still confident in Daniel, the way he's wired, what he showed us in 2022. Did we have the best start to the season last year? Absolutely not. And a lot, you know, anything that could have went wrong, it seems like it did early on between injuries and some other things. So I've still got a lot of confidence in Daniel.
I just wonder how much they look at him and versus the quarterbacks in this draft, which is the higher value to them? But you know what I mean? Like, can I draft a guy that'll be as good, if not better than him?
Right.
Because if not, if you can't look at the quarterback in this draft that you can get, because 1 and 2, you're not getting. So if there's another, if there's a third or fourth quarterback in this draft that you feel has just as much potential and ceiling and talent as Daniel Jones, you draft him. But if you don't, what are you doing? It's not like Daniel Jones is 29, 30 years old. He's still very young. I still wonder why, like, what is this rush to move on from Daniel Jones?
His price tag based on, and also his injury history is what everybody's going to say.
Of course. Those are the two things that worry you the most, which is why a guy like Penix doesn't make sense. He's got an injury history too.
Yeah, but a guy like Spencer Rattler or Bo Nix.
Yeah, but I mean, Spencer Rattler and I'm saying late second.
But again,
that's all right. Then if you're doing that just to get another guy, that's fine. But if you're looking for your quarterback of the future, you're going to take him in whether it's 6 or moving up from 6 to another number.
Well, remember Lamar Jackson. They had Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson fell, and they moved back in the first round late to get it. And the Giants could do that. And Lamar Jackson was a first-round draft pick that they saw something in that they were able to do it to. So who's to say that the Giants don't see somebody that potentially could be on a border of a first-rounder but not quite right, and they can say, hey, we got the perfect place because he doesn't have to come here and play. We can develop him for a year, and we can go get him. So that would be Spencer Rattler, maybe the Pratt kid from Tulane. You know, if they're going to stick with their pick, but you know, Bo Nix as well.
Well, I mean, again, the debate rages on about whether or not the Giants need a quarterback, and Joe Shane also talked about that. Do they need to get one in this draft?
I don't think so. I think with, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience, and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system. Tommy's come a long way, so I think we could go in with the season with the three that we have, and, you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
I don't believe it. I don't believe him saying, no, we don't. Drew, by the way, is Drew Locke, who they brought in. You remember that, too. So he's there, and he's supposed to serve as the backup.
Well,
so that's what you got.
He's going to take a lot of reps, him and Tommy, because, you know, Daniel's still
DeVito.
Rehabbing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they expect him to be ready for the start of camp. That'll be something to certainly watch. But it's going to be interesting what the Giants do. And I kind of like the way Joe Shane has played this, because there's a lot of smoke screen out there. Like, you can't really get a sense of what they're going to do. But to be honest with you, ever since the Patriots said what they said about the number 3 pick, I think there's a lot of like uncertainty about what's going to happen. Like they you got to almost have like what? How many options do you think you got to have at number 6 right now if you're Joe Shane? You have at least 3 or 4 options.
Yeah. 3 or 4, and it depends on who's open for business and what they want for it.
That's true too.
Because, like I said, if Patriots are looking actively to get out, it's natural for the Patriots and Giants to do business because they're in two separate conferences.
Yeah, there's no impact on it. Do you think that if McCarthy is available to the Giants, they'll make the move and take him as the fourth quarterback?
I mean, I don't know. That to me, that's a bit rich. You got to be 100% sure that, you know, what he was doing in Michigan was because that was the formula to win, not because they didn't want him to overexpose himself. You know, because you don't see somebody do something in college doesn't mean they can't do it. So it's going to have to be you. I hope they've interviewed this young man, went to his pro day, and know what he's capable of doing. Mm-hmm. And I think the weight of Jim Harbaugh is going to weigh a lot in how many people trust his ability to develop quarterbacks. And saying, hey, he played in a pro system, so maybe, you know, he's more ready than we think. And he played winning football, not hero ball.
And remember, Harbaugh was, and I know it's his guy, raving about him, though. I mean, all he did was rave about how good he's going to be at the NFL level. So there is that part of it as well. All right, 800-919-3776, your calls on the Jets and the Giants and the draft and what you think they should do, what you want to see your team do. But coming up next,
orange and blue sky, baby. Orange and blue sky.
We get you ready for the playoffs. The Knicks and the Sixers, game 1. What they're saying about what the Knicks can do in this series. And also what one Sixer said about the Knicks' home crowd that you definitely need to hear. Stay with us. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams a chance to play their way into the postseason. So it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. to use during the NBA playoffs. Again, three-pointers made in a game. When you get to the postseason, very easy. The Celtics, they live with the three-pointer. They take a ton of them. They also make a ton of them. Over-under in point totals, this Knicks-Sixers series, I'd watch a lot of the unders in this one. A lot of defense. Going to be scrappy. It's going to be sloppy basketball. First basket scorer. You got to do your homework on that one. Who's the player that they call the play for first? Usually it's the primary scorer. Usually it's Jalen Brunson. So much more that you can play. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 or older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, let's get you ready for the Knicks postseason.
Thought Knicks and the Sixers. Getting ready for 420
PM.
Right here.
6 p.m. Yeah, 420. It is tomorrow. Nothing like getting high at the Garden. 420 tomorrow, 6 p.m. The Knicks and the Sixers, that's the tip-off. We have an hour, just so you know, an hour pregame show on MSG Network. And, of course, your coverage here on 98.7 ESPN as well. Yeah, we're going to keep it busy. We're going to be very busy. This is the time of year. This is where you want to work. This is the best time. Game one, set that tone. So what's everybody saying? What's all the talk around this series? Well, do you want to hear what Paul Reed had to say yesterday about how the Sixers, they wanted the Knicks.
I feel like we ain't ducking no smoke. Yeah, we wanted the Knicks matchup. Of course, that's the easier team. But, you know, it's going to be fun. You know, we match up pretty well with them. They got a great guard. We got a great guard. We also got Joel, MVP. He's one of the most unstoppable guys in the league right now.
How would you feel about that if you heard an opponent say that?
I mean, be careful what you wish for. But, I mean, wasn't no lie in the fact that Boston's better. I mean, I'd rather avoid I got a better chance against you.
Was, my easier team was probably the choice of words. You didn't like to hear that.
Right. I think we have a more favorable matchup.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah,
you could say, like, we avoided playing the best team in the East. That's fine. But to say that it's the easier team, like.
Yeah, because that's what they get into, too, as well. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. You get into these podcasts, man. You start, like, trying to chuck it up and think you talk to your friends like, yo, you know we gonna hear this. People gonna hear this, right? Right. You know it's gonna be reported. It's gonna bounce all everywhere. So, well, I mean, and also another thing that he said that could be capped slightly is the fact that he said, you know, we got, you know, Joel Embiid MVP. Yeah, which version?
Right.
Like, is it the one that we saw the first five games or is it the one that we saw in the play-in?
In that play-in game where he was hobbling.
Because we want that one.
Yeah, more on that in a moment. But so Isaiah Hartenstein heard what Paul Reed had to say and his thoughts.
I mean, that's his thoughts at the end of the day. I mean, we're focused on what we got to do. think that's what podcasts kind of do. They just make sure they get you comfortable, and then people just say shit. So at the end of the day, we're focused on us. Whatever comments they have. But we're focused on our team. We're focused on just getting better every day and getting focused for the Sixers.
No, come on, Zay. I need more than that. I need more than Zay. Zay, you're going to be guarding him at some time. He's going to come into the game when Embiid goes to the bench, and you got to. I need a forearm shiver. I need you to send a message. Say something more than that. Maybe Josh Hart. Maybe Josh Hart cares about what Paul Reed had to say.
I don't give a f*** about what he said. I could really care less. I guess, you know, that I don't care.
Damn.
That's two.
That's like just, all right, well, all right, fine. So you don't care what he had to say about your team. How about what Kelly Oubre had to say about playing at Madison Square Garden?
I mean, man, the fans are pretty crazy. You know, they have a really good culture of being wild and, you know, loving basketball to the root and the core of it. So it's definitely, they call it the Mecca of basketball for a reason. The lights are super bright. They're going to give celebrities those $100,000 free tickets just to be there and not care about the game. But, you know, that's what they do. It's going to be super fun, and I look forward to it. That's one of my favorite places to play.
$100,000 tickets they give away for free so they can go and not care about the game.
Yeah,
That's a shot at you, Ben Stiller. Jerry Ferrara, that's a shot at you.
Tracy Morgan, he went
Tracy
at the real
Morgan.
OG.
Tracy Morgan, he took a shot at you, Tracy Morgan. What do you think about that?
He went. And we're going to win the next ones, too. I'm going to be at the game Saturday. It's all good with us. We're not scared of nobody. We ain't even thinking about Boston. You know, we did the Philly before when they had Embiid. We're not thinking about, he ain't even healthy anyway. He done been taken off the court twice.
Twice. I should laugh at that.
Yo, you need him in the locker room before the game.
But I'm over here like, yo,
man.
I should
give a speech, man, because I got hit by a truck. 18-wheeler, 8 years ago. Next man up, man. Almost lost my life. I was in that coma for 10 days. My daughter was only 10 months old. So I had to fight. I'm telling my team to fight. Fight. We got an identity. We gritty, we grimy, and we don't give up. Ever.
If we heard that before the game, man, it's, it's a wrap.
Well, luckily, it's being recorded.
I'm living proof, man. I'm living proof, man. I'm here. And I'm still doing comedy, making the world laugh.
Man, he sometimes Tracy go dark, man. Like it was light, man. Like, you got hit by the.
Then he reminds you, right?
I own Walmart. Yeah, because he hit me. Like, damn, son. Okay, like, damn. Okay, man. You went life or death on it, son. Okay.
But that's how serious he is about.
But I tell you though, like, is he calling out Fat Joe? He's saying Fat Joe freak, all cap, Fat Joe.
Huh?
I'm trying to say. It's Oubre talking stuff. I'm trying to find him. I'm trying to find a fake celebrity.
No, that's what I mean.
Is he talking about Fat Joe?
Who's he talking about? The celebrity, you think Michael
Robert
J.
De Niro
Fox
don't care?
Michael J. Fox comes to every game. Like, these guys are coming to every game. These aren't fake fans. You know, they come to the game first to not care. That's L.A., bro.
Yeah, but
that's not here.
Yeah. But first of all, the fact that they can charge $100,000, ain't nobody paying $100,000, $50,000 to go sit in front row. Y'all giving them tickets away because y'all ain't got nobody else gonna pay the ticket. You asking people, like James Harden, hey, man, can y'all come to our playoff game? I'm James Harden. He at the Subway. He at the Wawa. Y'all giving tickets away,
first,
son.
Come out to our first playoff game, everybody. Like, damn.
Yeah,
you
come on
do
up.
A promo for
it'd
that?
It'd be a fun time.
Oh, my God. Well, the Embiid thing is an interesting one, right? That's, to me, when people are asking, like, we did this on GetUp, it's like, what's the key to the series? And, like, the most obvious thing to say is the key to the series – is Joel Embiid's knee. And if we saw what we saw against the Heat, the Knicks have a can win. If he looks any different than that, and all of a sudden he's bouncing around and playing like an MVP, the Knicks are going to have a hard time winning this thing. I mean, that's as simple as that. The knee is everything. What does he look like in game one? My man, Tim Legler, that's exactly his breakdown of what to expect in this series.
Based on the way Embiid looked when he came back from the injury several weeks ago and the way Maxey's played all year and some of the new pieces they've added, man, this is the biggest challenger to the Boston Celtics. And a healthy Embiid, I still believe that. He's not healthy. He's not right. And I think that gives the Knicks great hope that now they have a diminished Sixers team that's going to give them a good shot with home court advantage.
That's excuse basically me. The series right there. What does Embiid look like?
Yeah, but excuse me, though, Alan.
What?
Didn't they beat the hell out of the Sixers with Joel Embiid before he got hurt?
They won by 38 on their home floor in Philadelphia. Yeah.
So like, even with the – I mean, listen, I love my boy Ivan Drago, you know what I'm saying, baby Drog. But I'm trying to say, like, when you were healthy and fully together and everybody was playing well, we kicked y'all ass.
Mm-hmm.
We got better. We got OG. We got better. Like, we got Bogdanovich. Like, we went out and made moves to improve. Y'all are just where y'all were back then. And Joel isn't who he was back then. He's compromised. So why the hell are they the biggest threat to Boston? When we were the biggest threat to Boston, we the biggest threat to y'all. Y'all ain't the biggest threat to us. So I don't get the logic in that anyway.
The Knicks this season, when they played the Sixers, they won 3 out of 4. Both games in Philadelphia, they won. They won. They basically, in the 4 games against the Sixers, their margin, basically the plus-minus, okay, was plus 17.8 per game. And they lost one of the games. So just think about that. They outscored them by an average of 17.8 points per game in the 4 games and lost one of them. They held them to 86.5 points per game in the 4 games on an average. So the Knicks definitely matched up well with them. Now, one thing to keep in mind, everybody, is this. Is while Jalen Brunson has averaged over 30 points a game since January 1st, that was before the Randle injury. Against the Sixers, he did not really have big games. He averaged 22 a game, but he only shot 40% from the field, and he was 9 for 30 from three. So the idea that Brunson, he's going to average 30 in the series, all that stuff. Nick Nurse and that Philly defense, they made him a focal point. It was others that had to take care of business. It's going to be others that are going to have to take care of business in this series as well. You might say, well, he's got to get to 25 or 30 points per game if the Knicks are going to win. That's true. I do think he's got to be able to provide that kind of offense. But it's going to have to be someone else that emerges and you come out of the series going, that dude had a hell of a series. That guy's the reason why the Knicks won the series. Who's that guy going to be? I think defensively, OG Anunoby is going to have his fingerprints all over the series. I don't know if he's going to also provide scoring. I kind of feel like it's Dante DiVincenzo. I think that's the guy I'm looking at, and I'm saying if the Knicks are going to win this series, DiVincenzo has to average 20 points per game in the series. And with all the attention that Brunson's going to get, he might get a lot of open looks. We can't have a 4 for 15 from three from him. He's got to get in rhythm. He's got to be in rhythm. And he's got to be able to knock down those open shots that he's going to get in this series as a result of the defense.
Well, what I'm saying is, tell me this. Those games that they blew him out by 30, who had a game? That's really the question.
Well, again, like, earlier in the season.
R.J.
Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly.
Okay.
Like, it was other people.
So to your point, DiVincenzo, who's going to be the guys that's playing those roles? Because
right.
We know that they're going to set up their defense to take Brunson away, so that's going to give you the opportunities that you need.
Yeah, I mean, it's again like it is. I don't think it's going to be high scoring at all. You saw the Knicks held them to 86 points a game, so the Knicks defensively against them, they can handle it. They've got a lot of size and physicality. They can throw at Embiid. Tobias Harris really hasn't been an impactful player for the Sixers. I mean, the fans are all over him.
That's why he ain't coming back.
That's what I mean. That's an interesting story. It's a side story altogether, because there's a guy that can get 25 in a game, no problem.
Yeah.
But he has not played well for them, and he knows the fans are on his case to begin with. And Nick Nurse is quick to pull him out of games when he's not playing well. Maxey, we're aware. We already know what you're going to get from him. A lot of downhill, a lot of ability to make shots while falling off and fall. Hey, a bigger version of Emmanuel Quickly. You got to watch him. But you saw what Batum can do. He can get hot from three. Buddy Hield is a new piece there. Another guy that can shoot, and he's a scorer you got to worry about. They don't have great depth, but they've got a good five, and it's all about Embiid, because look at their record with and without him. They're a losing team when he doesn't play, but they win when he's on the court, and they win at a high percentage when he's on the court. So what are you getting out of Embiid, and how much can the Knicks exploit if he can't move that well? Put him in pick and roll, whatever else. There's so much to see, and we're going to learn it Saturday night. We're going to know right away. We're going to know right away what it looks like.
I need dog mentality.
Yeah.
So when I say dog mentality, I don't care if he hurt. We're not going to do nothing. If he hurt, we're going to attack that leg. We're going to push him. We're going to bump him. We're going to stop in front of him. We're going to put him in pick and rolls. We're going to pick him, running up the court, like his guy, back pick him, all that type of stuff. We're going to set him up. We're going to make sure that, you know, we physical. We box him out hard. We're going to stay low. All that stuff, man.
Yeah. Right. Finish your screen. Box out all the way. Right? No, we're not doing anything half.
And we push him around. We try to push him around, too.
No, you got to.
And that's why I need Mitchell Robinson, somebody that's got enough weight to push him and lean on him.
And they've got, like I said, they got four guys that they can just routinely just continue to throw at him. He just looked constantly tired. So it is, again, we're going to learn this for sure. And then when you look at the schedule, this is something that Dino brought up earlier, like when we were getting ready for the show. And it's actually a really smart thing if you think about it. This is why game one is so critical. Because they play Saturday. As I told you, if the Sixers can find a way to win game one, even with Embiid like hobbled and all that stuff, if they can steal game one, they could probably sit him for game two, which is Monday night, because you only got one day off and then you play game two. They could say, all right, we already got the split. We want to rest him and get that knee right. Because
they
don't play again until Thursday. Game three in Philadelphia is not till Thursday, a week from Saturday, a week from yesterday. So you're talking about 5 days or 4 days in between games that he could rest the knee, and then he plays in what would be, obviously, the game threes are always important as well. Right? So you could lose game two. It don't matter because you already got the split. And you give him more time to just rest, get himself right, whatever it is. So the last thing you want to do is watch Philadelphia steal a game one. Because it does open the door for them to get him rest, which is what he desperately would need. At least that's what it looked like in that game Wednesday night. He got 2 days, so we'll see what it looks like Saturday night. That's what I'm telling my eyes. I mean, watching him courtside, all I care about. How's he moving? That's all that matters to me, because that could be the difference in this series. All right. 800-919-3776. Final thoughts as we send you off to the weekend and the K Show. Of course, I'm sure Bart's list of what he can't wait to see this weekend is going to be a very long one, so we got to leave time for that as well. But before we get into that and other things, Bart, tell me about BetMGM.
I tell you, that list is going to be shorter than this BetMGM read. Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks all season long. They're offering top odds on favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-day parlay, special boosts, and so much more. From the first pitch of the game winning from the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge the excitement. Whether you want to combine multiple bets for a chance at a bigger payout or place a live bet as the game unfolds, BetMGM has all the home run betting options you need. Download the BetMGM app, head to the ballpark, and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is the official partner of Major League Baseball. See BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Subject to eligibility requirements, rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
Bagged! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The best song. The weekend is here,
yeah.
Bart Scott.
Just got paid Friday night. Party's jumping. Feel alright. Booty shaking. Dancing to the beat.
We don't have much
I'm
time.
Gonna get some grease. Just got paid.
So
Friday night.
There's a lot for you to look forward to this weekend. Give me a couple of things you can't wait to see.
Ah, man, it all starts off first, man, with the Bumbo this today. We talk about
Bumbo.
Yeah, the Bumbo.
The sacrificial lamb games tonight.
You got Chicago. Oh, yeah, we get to go see Boston. We just get a couple extra checks that aren't above board. So you got Chicago and the Heat. Then you got the Pelicans facing the Zionless Pelicans.
Yeah.
And then Saturday is when it started to heat up, though. We got the start of the series, baby. Make it personal, baby. You heard.
Right. Islanders, we Hurricanes, tough. Baby. Let's go.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely got the Rangers and the Capitals, man. But also, you know, we got the Knickerbockers, you know what I'm saying? Bing bongs, you know what I'm saying? I'll see y'all in game five, you know what I'm saying?
Bing
you know,
bong.
Gentlemen okay. sweep, you know what I'm calling it. And then we got Devin Haney versus Garcia and the Barclays. You know what I'm saying? That's close if y'all want to get some tickets to go out there. You know what I mean? All so right. we got everything
That's
we want for you. We got
Saturday.
Do That Hockey. We got Yamamoto saying, listen, this is who you left me for. This is Sparta.
Rangers Capitals. Big game. That's a Sunday. So, again, we start now the every other night at the Garden. Right? That's what this is. Like, we start now that whole run of, like, Knicks play, then Rangers play, then Knicks play, then Rangers play. Like, and then you got all the baseball stuff going on. Like, this is where, like, it just starts to – there's going to be some excitement. And all you're asking the local teams, just get on a run. Give me something. Get on a run. Let's go. Like, we cannot whimper out. We cannot go quiet into that good night. We have got to light it up now as we are moving into the warmer weather, the spring, into summer. Like, let's make this a spring to remember. Just like all the old heads like me tell you about. You remember 94? You remember 94? Where there's a whole generation of kids that are like, no, I wasn't even born, man. You got to know what it was like, and maybe, just maybe, this is the opportunity to do that. Maybe we're going to have a spring that might, in some way, unite this city. You might not agree on a lot of things, but we can all agree on sports. And one thing we know is when the New York teams are winning, when it's playoff time, we all get together. We all get part of it. We all get into the juice. Come get a slice. It's time. That we finally have some winning in this godforsaken city. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. I'll see you Monday.
Aha.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.